This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 182. I'm Chris Stafford. And on this week's episode, Dave Thind will be here to talk about the Feldenkrais method. And after that, we'll hear from neuro-linguistic programming practitioner Laura King. And we begin with one item of news that US Equestrian has announced the three athlete and horse combinations who have been named for the 2018 Dressage European Young Rider Tour, which is linked to the Discovery Dressage USEF-USDF Emerging Athlete Program. The following athletes are Ben Abeling from Moore Park, California, and Berlinger, Amy Roberts-Abeling, Anne Romney, and Elizabeth Myers' 10-year-old Hanoverian gelding. Callie Jones from Henderson, Kentucky, with her 10-year-old Hanoverian gelding, Don Filippo. And Anna Veniger from Apex, North Carolina, riding Dawn Veniger's 14-year-old NRPS gelding, Don Derrick. The Dressage European Young Rider Tour is considered an important part of the dressage pathway, and George Williams, U.S. Dressage youth coach and chef d'équipe, said, "The tour is designed to introduce our young riders to competing internationally, both as individuals and as a team representing the US. The tour will send Abeling, Jones and Veniger to a series of competitions, with the highlight competition being the CDIOY in Hagen in Germany from June 12th through the 17th. Additionally, Jones and Veniger will also compete at the CDIOY Compiègne in France from May 17th through the 20th and the CDIOY in Aachen from May the 29th and 31st. And if you have any questions about this program, you can contact Hannah Niebleski, and her email address is hniebelski at usef.org, and her telephone number is 859-225-6918 if you have any questions about this program. And our first guest this week is Dave Thind, who is a certified German trainer A and rider biomechanics expert. And he is here to talk about the Feldenkrais method for riders. Dave was born in Canada and trained in Germany, and he's based now in Walpole, Massachusetts. Dave, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And we're going to hear all about the Feldenkrais method now, which you're very familiar with. How did you first of all get involved with this method?
Well, I guess I got into this because of injury. It was a little unfortunate to begin with, but I ended up learning a lot. Essentially, what had happened was doctors, chiropractors, osteopaths, you name it, none of them could help me. And a very nice lady by the name of Bonnie, though this is almost 20 years ago, bought a horse for me from Oregon. And she came out and said, "Well, there's this Feldenkrais method, you should try it." And I said, "What kind of therapy is it? What kind of exercise is it?" And she said, "I can't explain it, but try it. It'll help you." So probably not long after, I left for my first working student experience in Germany with Johann Zagers. And I was on, you know, heavy-duty painkillers, going to the chiropractor in Dusseldorf at night after working all day. And Johann finally said to me, "You know, you need to go and go look after yourself." And he had been previously injured, bedridden for a year, in fact. And I went back to Montreal, where I lived, and found a Feldenkrais practitioner. And within three or four sessions, I was feeling so much better. And of course, right away, wondering how this could improve my riding and improve my seat and how I can improve transitions. And it did just that. I was so much more comfortable. The horses appreciated my way of riding. I was happier with my seats. My seat scores and scores in general all improved. And my teaching improved. So I've been a big fan of this method and got myself better and went back to Germany and completed my trainer education over there. And I've been using the Feldenkrais method in my teaching for a long time. And I'm happy to share this information with everyone today.
And for those who are not familiar with it, Dave, how would you describe it?
Probably the easiest way to describe it is working with neuromuscular reprogramming. So we're working with gentle, easy movements in order to improve function. So in our case, a function as dressage. In other people's cases, other sports, high-level musicians, you know, anything you want to do in terms of movement. So Dr. Feldenkrais was an Israeli physicist and engineer, also Europe's first black belt in judo. So he was born in the Ukraine, got interested in judo. And one of the things he noticed with his way of thinking was elite athletes, especially in the martial arts, able to perform difficult maneuvers with ease, not having to use a lot of strength or extra muscular effort. And he was intrigued by this, you know, just the mechanics of this. And one of the aspects of the Feldenkrais method is to help people learn how to do that very thing. You know, something that might look difficult to other people if they try to do it, but that elite athlete will do it easily. So if we talk about a horse or a rider, an elite athlete is moving with efficiency, fluidity, suppleness, all those things that everyone is trying to do. So the Feldenkrais method, in our case, helps us with those types of things. I think it's, you know, mostly for development of feet, giving us the posture and elegance that we'd like to have, the suppleness, better communication, and, you know, just studying it very quietly, easily, trying to get our body to move fluently, easily, possibly undoing some of the stress that we've created in ourselves over the years, walking better, you know, just efficiently and easily changing things. There's no real effort in this. You just learn to move better. And the brain, because you're working with the brain picks up as, oh, this is easier. I will do that again. This is comfortable, as opposed to, oh, that's hard. I don't want to do that again. So it has a very different way of working. There's no right and wrong. It's more learning to know about your own body, find what's, you know, the natural wiring, if you will, for movement that we all pretty much share, and how we can use those pathways to do what we want. One of his most famous quotes, it's to make the impossible possible, the difficult easy, and the easy beautiful. So I think that applies very directly to what we do with our horses.
So you're rather untying the knots in the body, so to speak, releasing them all and allowing them to, you know, those neural pathways, if you like, to flow more freely.
Yes, I would agree with that, because with a lot of, you know, conflicting patterns, you know, things that we do to pile up on top of other patterns because we find it difficult. And, you know, we've all been there in a lesson or whatever horse we're riding, and there's more effort than we'd like there to be. I'm not saying that there never will be effort, but if we're talking about this as a method that is not exercise, so you have to exercise and work hard in order to improve cardiovascular strength or muscular strength. But for the case of coordination and, you know, learning for this type of movement quality, we have to slow everything down, less is more. And that's really nice to have this possibility to do this off the horse. So when we get on the horse and when we're in action and doing something that we're more or less very familiar with, therefore it's harder to change patterns and things that we actually do often. So doing it off of the horse in an environment that has nothing to do with riding and actually just learning about movement, the quality of movement, the ease of movement, and through experience, learning about skeletal alignment, where does one, you know, you can have pressure coming through your body, which is a very important theme, how the skeleton can receive information and move this movement, and letting go of any of those knots, as you mentioned, and extra muscular effort.
So let's give an example then, Dave, of how this could be applied. Maybe a basic lesson, if you will, in Feldenkrais. Where would you start with that?
Sure. So what I would like to do is just talk about the general, how a lesson would start. And then if we have time, we can do a little short snippet of a lesson. So a lesson, how it starts, if you go to a group Feldenkrais class or a private practitioner, in the case of a private practitioner, you'd be asked, what is the function that you want to improve? If there are any complaints, any pain? Is there a desire to improve performance in your particular sport? In the case of riders, often the complaints are my hips, or it's difficult to sit up and I'd like to have a better posture, or many complaints as we know them. And none of this would be done in stretching. None of this would be done in, you know, none of the regular physio rehab type things. So how we would go about, for example, someone who wants to sit better and gets to know their body, I think that's pretty much everyone, should be every dressage rider. I know I constantly work on this. One of the things we always start with in a lesson is a body scan. So the student, so it's never a patient in this work, it's a student, goes to the practitioner, either in a group or a private, and you're asked to lay down on a hard table or the ground with a mat. The reason for that is to have full support from underneath. The reasoning behind the full support is to take you out of gravity and to also give the body the message that everything is fine, we are comfortable, we are supported from underneath. So the word support, to hold from underneath, allows the muscles to release. So the better you're supported by the ground, or you release your weight to the ground, this and the muscular tone have a direct relationship. So by that, what I mean is once you do a scan and you're noticing all the places that take contact with the ground, the more fully you can rest into the ground in a supple, easy, comfortable way, this is an indicator of relaxed muscular tone. Or in the case of, to think about this, that we're just lying on the ground, appropriate muscle tone for the task at hand. So from there, you would be asked to, the theme is always a little bit different, but, let's today think about how is our breathing, thinking about where are my limbs, the length of the limbs, where is my head rolled to, and try to really sense where it is. And there is no right and wrong, so you're not trying to adjust yourself to have better posture or stand up straight, even though you're in a laying down position. Just really getting to know a real map of your body. So a good way to explain is you lay down on a big piece of white paper, but your back of you is painted in your favorite color. What would that print be like? And that print is more or less what you do when you sit on your horse, when you stand on whichever leg you like to stand on. We all have a standing leg. We all have a shorter side and a longer side. So getting to know all of this is very useful. Just as we do with our horses, we want to know their stiff and hollow side. How do you ride the shoulder in one side? How do you ride the half pass? So another Feldenkrais idea is when you know what you're doing, you can do what you want. It sounds very simple, but usually our self-perception, our proprioception, self-image, all of these ideas, it is slightly off of what we're actually doing. So that is the main goal of starting with a scan. So if you'd like, I'd be happy to run you through a brief, perhaps sitting lesson, since that's a easier way to do it in our short time.
I think we have just time for the short lesson.
Yes, I'd love to do that. So what I'll ask is that everybody at home finds a firm stool or a chair that's relatively flat, and please have a seat on that chair, making sure that your feet are on the ground and that your knees are not too much higher than your hips, so a level or lower than the hips. Once you're seated on this stool or chair, please take a moment to just realize that there's no right and wrong. And from there, try to see which seat bone do you take more weight on. So this is really an idea of self-exploration and slowing everything down, winding down. I wouldn't suggest doing this while driving, so please do this at home when you're comfortable. And what we're going to do is just know where you are in space. Is one shoulder further forward? Is one shoulder further back? Perhaps one shoulder is higher. And what we talked about, being longer and shorter on one side, which side is longer? Meaning from your pelvis or your hip up until your armpit, is one side longer? Do you sense it is longer? Therefore, the ribs are further spaced and open, and on the other side, they would be shortened, just like your horse. Now, from that point, you would think, okay, well, I have one side long, one seat bone heavier, one seat bone lifted on the short side. Perhaps the ear goes in that direction or not, so we have multiple patterns upon patterns. So let's bring some attention to your left foot. Just a random place to start. It's not important where we start. So the left foot, I will ask everyone to please lift your heel very slowly as if your foot is in the stirrup and your heel has come up just a bit. And then bring it back down. And play with this movement very slowly and easily, reducing any muscular effort, paying attention to your breathing, be comfortable, be easy, and again, not really thinking right or wrong. Now that you have this movement going on, let's see if we can bring the movement so that as the weight would go forward onto the stirrup, onto your toes, what would happen next? What happens with the ankle? The two bones of the foot, above that, so you have the tibia and the fibula. That, of course, moves the knee, which in turn moves the femur and the thigh into the hip. And that's, of course, moving the pelvis and the rest of the cell skeleton through your spine. So knowing about this will change a lot of things. So when you're riding next time, all of a sudden there's a different movement in your hip coming from the pressure of the stirrup and the ankle moving. So therefore, another reason to think about the mobility and suppleness of the ankle instead of a locked end position of that joint. Now, if you wanted to continue with this further, if you do that movement, paying attention, where does my pelvis roll to? Is there any rolling? Could this perhaps be a movement played with, a small micro movement, to bring you onto your right seat bone, therefore shortening your left side, lengthening your right side, making a right shoulder in, right volte, right half pass, right pirouette, all of that stuff easier. So it's a different way of looking at it. Of course, riding terms, you would say sit inside, find that inside stirrup, all of those things. But today we found it with playing with, pushing from the outside, propelling the forces through the skeleton, and shortening and folding very softly. So an easy way of finding a very familiar thing from a different angle. So I hope you enjoyed that. And anybody at home who tried this, I just wanted to add that please, if you feel like you want to do the other side, please don't. So part of the beauty of this method is you leave the curiosity and the brain will interpret the lesson, because it really is a lesson we're giving in mechanics and locomotion, and the brain picks it up if it likes it, which if it's easy, okay, new part of my movement repertoire.
That is very helpful, Dave. Thank you so much for describing that. And tell us where we can find more information about the Feldenkrais method.
Certainly. So Feldenkrais.com is the place to go in the U.S. and Canada if you wanted to find information. So the Feldenkrais Guild of North America would give you resources, articles, further information. If you are suffering from pain, there was a fantastic article in New York Times a couple months ago about finding relief from chronic pain through the Feldenkrais method. And I also, of course, work with riders. There are other Feldenkrais people that work with riders, but I'm located in the Boston area. And my website for my farm is aspirefarm.com. And if you are interested in having a longer version of today's lesson, please just send me a personal email, dave@aspirefarm.com, with the subject USDF podcast, and we'll send you a link of the full lesson.
Dave, that's very, very helpful. We really do appreciate you taking the time to come on the program and explain this method to us. What dressage rider doesn't have to consider these aspects of their riding and address their own physique, really, and their physical attributes and what they're using correctly and not correctly.
Thank you. And I agree. I think every one of us can help get help and improvement from this method. So if it speaks to you, please look it up. And I hope you enjoy. Thank you.
And next in our education segment, we have part one of a two-part series on self-hypnosis for riders with hypnotist and neuro-linguistic programming practitioner Laura King. These excerpts were recorded at the 2017 USDF-USEF Young Rider Graduate Program.
For those of you who do not know me, my name is Laura King. A book I wrote called The Power to Win. Sports psychology I studied for years. Then I went off in another direction and did other things. Went to college, back to college, became interior designer. Then I ended up raising a family, and my daughter rode horses. I rode horses. So I've been around horses since I was 2 years old. I sat in the saddle with my dad while I herded cattle. So I love horses. I never thought I'd be a hypnotist. 17 years ago, my mentor, the lady that saved my life 40 years ago with the use of hypnosis, passed away. So I was gifted all of her material. I came home from the funeral and I said to my husband, what am I doing the next 50 years of my life? Because I always thought our children would go to college and I would go to California and work with my mentor. He says, you become a hypnotist. I went, yeah, really? You're nuts. I had three major fears. One of them was getting up in front of people and speaking. The other one was going into a room and hypnotizing somebody. Ooh, that was weird. The third one was recording my voice. So my husband looked at me and he laughed. He says, well, if hypnosis really works, you can be hypnotized to do all three. 17 years later, after I went to school and had my first panic attack at the age of 40-something, so I laughingly say they kept me after school and hypnotized me. The next day, I hypnotized 5 people in a row, and I haven't stopped since. I am very, very happy to say that one of the reasons I really love helping equestrians is because I still love to ride in your brain. So you need to know something that's very, very important. I want you to think of sports psychology and hypnotherapist. The hypnosis is a step to take what you learn from psychology and be able to reprogram your brain to do what you ask it to do. And you're going to learn about that right now, okay? So first of all, concentration. We know how important it is to be focused, don't we? Sitting in the saddle, what are your distractions? What happens when you are sitting in the saddle? What is concentration? What is focus? We know that we have the opportunity to concentrate on a single idea at the beginning of a hallmark success of countless people and organizations. Focus is being able to create what that is, a concentration upon single idea. Well, when you're in the saddle riding, you're really not focusing on a single idea. You're implementing a whole lot of communication between you and your horse. And do you have to think about each thing on the conscious mind? No, you have to memorize it and let your muscle memory, let your body absorb the communication, because it's really a private conversation between you and your horse. So we want to implement the ability to know what are the things that can distract you. So it's the golf carts going by, the horses around you, the warm-up ring. It's all the things. Who's watching? Does it matter who's watching? Do you ever worry about who's watching you? It's what happens. Because why? In our heads, we think that somebody else is thinking about us. They're so busy thinking about themselves, they really don't care. But in our heads, what are we thinking about? Oh, I wonder what they're thinking. Oh, I've got a really good horse. I wonder if I can ride this horse as well as I should. I wonder. What is that self-talk in the brain? Chit-chat. And you have to learn to tell yourself to shut up. Other interesting part of what the mind is going to do about this information. Can you be thinking these things and be calm, cool, and collected and focused? No. So the concentration that we teach is the effortless ability to stay focused. When you drive your car, do you worry about if anybody's watching you and how you're driving it? When you park your car, do you get up, measure the space to make sure your car will fit? No, you drive into that space because your brain knows how to park the car. What about you trusting your riding ability like that? Wouldn't that be awesome? Because the mindset is learning how to get peak performance. We have to get the mind to be more focused. We have to allow that mindset and to understand that concentration is learned. You weren't born to concentrate. You know, your ability to ride, the longer you've ridden, the more rote material your brain has in it, so your body, every muscle, every gland, every cell, every atom of your body does get more fluid with this process. So the mind is the maximizing your concentration has to reflect back into your positive self-talk. It has to reflect back in the ability to release performance anxiety and how to relax better. So the process of what we do now is the best results occur with the use of hypnosis. What is hypnosis? You go in and out of it all the time. Have you ever worried about something? And you have a molehill and you make a mountain? You are in a state of hypnosis. You're in an altered state of consciousness with your own brain. Ever driven somewhere and you got there and you go, oh, I'm here? It's called road hypnosis. So we think about this for a moment. Sometimes people think hypnosis is a dirty word because somebody might make you bark like a dog or cluck like a chicken. In my career, I've never made anybody bark. Or cluck, for that matter, because you have to want to do it. Every human being has self-preservation. There is not a hypnotist on the face of the earth that can hypnotize somebody for something they do not want. But we know that we have to learn something about what our brain does. When we have a problem with our concentration, what happens? What does it create? Anxiety? Lack of confidence? Distractions, and the other, boredom, do you sometimes get bored? All of these things are variables of what keep a person from being focused and concentrating. and in the way the brain functions, what happens when concentration is lacking. Your body tightens up. When you are stressed, what happens? Your body tenses up, and the number one thing you do is stop breathing. Do you think you're very fluid, supple when you're not breathing? No. So just a little trick here. In every one of them, I anchor in your subconscious mind that every time you sit in the saddle, you breathe. So we override some of that by helping the mind change the perception of how it's perceiving your ability to ride. Once you're in your position, did you feel your horse's tension? Do you tense up because your horse tenses? Horse tenses because you tense too. So it's a feedback. I remember one time a trainer hired me to come out, and Hubertus was giving them a lesson in German, so they had a translator for me. So I'm getting all the lesson translated, and standing there, the one trainer was getting onto his horse for not doing the correct movement when he asked. And Hubertus turned to me, and he spoke in English. He says, "Americans focus on what they do wrong. They need to move past it." And I went, "Yeah, they do. That's what I teach them. We focus on what our mistakes are, don't we? We focus on what we need to look at what we have done wrong or what was incorrect, but we need to look at it and reframe it and change it. So eliminating potential distractions is possible. Have you ever lost your keys and they were right in front of you? That's what we do. We hypnotize you to not pay attention to all those things that used to bother you. Put a shield of protection around you. Choose to experience them as neutral. Easy way to eliminate distractions is to concentrate and to use hypnosis and NLP. What is hypnosis? The mind and the brain is where the action is. They both have different jobs. The brain is tangible, and brain waves play an important part of hypnosis. I mentioned an altered state of consciousness. I mentioned relaxation. So really, hypnosis is just relaxation. And all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. You're just following the hypnotist's instructions. That's all it is, okay? So any misconceptions of hypnosis, I would like to nix them now. That's my job. Elite athletes, you watch the Olympics, you watch all sports, they're using hypnosis and NLP to get to that level. So what we want to know now, I want you to think of the brain. Everything is neutral until you see, smell, hear, touch, or taste something. And in the middle of your brain is your core operating system. So think about your subconscious mind and your conscious mind as two different places. Conscious is what we're talking on, and sub is where everything is stored.
Thanks again to Laura, and we'll have part two of this series in the next episode of the USDF's official podcast. And before we go, we have a reminder that the deadline for members to submit proposed USEF rule changes to be considered by the Board of Directors at the 2019 US Equestrian Annual Meeting is June the 1st, 2018. The deadline for committees and affiliates to submit a proposed rule change is September the 1st, 2018. All USDF members are encouraged to review active rule change proposals and provide feedback. And you can find a complete list of currently active proposed USEF rule changes by category by visiting the USEF website. And that's our show for this week. You can, of course, find more educational resources and information by visiting eTrack at usdf.org. And to hear more episodes of this podcast, you can click the link at the very top of the homepage or download from iTunes to any podcast app. Just look for USDF Podcast. You can find out when the next episode is going to be available by following us on social media at the USDF's official social media pages. Thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.